First, let's just review a few of the travel news headlines from the past week. Joining us now to help us out is travel expert Onanta Forbes. You can follow her on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Onanta Forbes, and her website is onantaforbes.com. Hi, Onanta.
Hi, Randy. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Let's just talk about a few of the headlines from the last week or so. Op-ed piece in the Globe and Mail I thought was interesting about Canada's travel restrictions not making any sense. I would tend to agree.
Yes, it doesn't make any sense. And this infectious diseases physician and associate professor at McMaster, what he's saying is that a permanent ban on travel is impossible. And it's taught us that the current levels for travel do not make sense. So the first thing he's saying is that the lack of access to local testing. So currently in many provinces, there's no access to PCR testing for those experiencing COVID-19 symptoms. And it's quite costly and it's inconvenient. Like the federal government, I think, is going to spend over $600 million in current border testing. And then for individuals, they're required to pay for tests abroad to return to Canada and face thousands of dollars in potential additional costs. The second issue he pointed out is that quarantine requirements and restrictions for individuals are inconsistent at all levels, and they shouldn't be using testing as a stick to discourage travel. It's not appropriate. And then the need to monitor variants can be satisfied without border testing. If individuals who develop symptoms after travel, they can be tested in local communities, and then they can create like a global traveler surveillance network. His bottom line is that travel does need to be accommodated as return to normal, and as of right now, our processes introduce burden without any meaningful benefit.
Well, and with that, the World Travel and Tourism Council has some good news about the uptick in travel.
Yeah, it's very encouraging. So new data from the World Travel and Tourism Council reveal that the tourism industry's contribution to the global economy could reach $8.6 trillion this year, just 6.5% behind pre-pandemic levels. The survey from the WTTC shows that if the vaccine and booster rollout continue at their current pace, and restrictions to international travel ease throughout the year, the travel industry could create 58 million jobs in 2022. That's amazing, because we do need those jobs, and I think a lot of people are looking to ramp up travel again.
I think so. And this was an interesting story in the Globe and Mail about the no-fly list. I can't imagine if you're one of those people that just happens to have a name that matches someone on the no-fly list and it's not you. Like, it doesn't affect a lot of people, I know, but I just think that would be such a hassle.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And the Public Safety Canada Network has touted that the rollout for the Canadian travel number as a key step in revamping passenger screening procedures after many young children were stopped at airports because their names are the same as or close to ones on the no-fly roster. The government requires air carriers to send a passenger name and date of birth as early as 72 hours before the flight so that their identity can be verified and any false name match can be resolved in advance. And upon introducing the system, the government said it would improve the security of air travel and protect passenger privacy. But you're right. Can you imagine if you're the name that keeps on popping up and you have to go through this scrutiny?
There's another Onanta Forbes out there that's on the no-fly list, and every time you fly, it's like, no, it's not me.
No,
it's
it
that
isn't.
Other Onanta.
Let me on that plane.
It was also always good to chat to Onanta. We'll talk again next week.
You bet. Take care.